Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our reading of Juz 21 of the Holy Quran, where we will carry on from our discussion of Surah Al-Ankabut, the Surah of the Spider, inshallah ta'ala. And so Surah Al-Ankabut will not take up much of our discussion because it sort of finishes quite early on in Juz 21. It starts, at least in Juz 21, it starts with this discussion about the Qur'an, about the importance and the centrality I've put of the Qur'an. But there's a few sections that talk about the Qur'an. أُتْلُ مَا أُحْيَا إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ. Recite what has been revealed to you from the book and establish the prayer. And then it talks about the power of the prayer. And I remember we were once with Sheikh Yasser Hanafi, and I was with a few of the brothers from who do a lot of work against atheism and homosexuality and these transgenderism and all of these different ideologies. And they were all talking about, yeah, here's the method and here's what we need to do. And then Sheikh Yasser just at one point just stops everybody and says, I have the cure to all of the LGBTQ phenomena. And he said, and they're like, what is it? And he recites this portion of verse 45 of Surah Al-Ankabut, that inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar, that the prayer, if done properly, if understood as it is meant to be understood, and as enacted as it is meant to be enacted, though the prophetic way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," pray like you see me pray, but not pray physically like you see me pray, but let your spirit soar the way my spirit soars in the prayer, to the best of your ability. Then this prayer is the greatest defense the believer has against everything, because it pulls you back. It's the pulling back every single time you feel like you've strayed too far. The prayer will come. As long as you remain consistent on it and maintain it, it will pull you back. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. The prayer protects from vulgarity and evil. And so this is a beautiful verse that just exemplifies for us the power and the strength of the prayer, and why the Imams of the Salaf took their prayer so seriously, that if we take the five pillars of Islam seriously, they will suffice us. And we can't think of them. We think of them sometimes in a very simplistic way, but this is telling us that with the prayer has the power to counter all ideologies and evil upon the earth. وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. And the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than anything. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. Allah is fully aware, consistently aware, always aware of what you do. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on, talking to the Ahlul Kitab, or talking to in reference to the Ahlul Kitab, in how you should navigate and discuss with them. Only navigate and discuss with them using that which is best. And generally what is best is always the Qur'an. And then it says, وَكَثَلِكَ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ. We revealed to you the book. Whoever was given the book, they believe in it. And nobody denies our signs except the disbelievers. وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ إِذَا لَرْتَابَ الْمُبْتِلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then talks about how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the great miracles really of Islam and the civilizational prowess of Islam, is the fact that the Messenger of God sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for all intents and purposes, according to the dominant opinion of the majority of the mainstream scholars, did not have the ability to write and read in the conventional sense. The reason I caveat this so much is because I have read from some mashayikh recently something that just struck me, that we have to have an adab with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe, I don't know, we can call him maybe the unlettered prophet, but sometimes I think it can become very disparaging the way people say it. Oh, he couldn't read. But it's not like, and this is not because reading and writing is not the be all and end all. He had the knowledge of the cosmos, the universe, kan wa ma yakun, what has happened and what will happen. This is not to denigrate the Messenger of God sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it's to show really that nobody can attribute any of this to anybody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the civilization of Islam cannot be, it's the Romans who gave it, or the Christians who gave it, or these people that gave it. The Quran is constantly decrying these notions and saying, no, it's me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that revealed the Quran, and the civilizational prowess of Islam is founded on the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are signs, clear signs in the hearts of those who have knowledge, and nobody denies our signs except the oppressors. Again, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are focused in on. If we move forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then talks about the punishment, that they ask for the punishment to be brought forward, that bring it now, bring it early. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if it wasn't for, there's a fixed time, it's definitely, but it's fixed, you know, it doesn't mean it's not coming, but it's coming, but it's got its own appointed time. It will come in that time, it will come suddenly, and you'll have no awareness, it will catch you unawares. The most terrifying, because that's surprise, is one of the most terrifying things for a human being. They ask for it, Again, Jahannam will be replete with disbelievers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the nature of the punishment on that day, that the punishment will engulf them from every single angle, and they'll be asked to taste that which you did, because Jahannam is just a physical manifestation of our own evil coming back to haunt us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about death. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Again, this verse has come up before. Thumma ilayna turja'un. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how He is the one, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rizq, the fact that He gives everything. Allahu yabsutu rizqa liman yasha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads His rizq for whoever He wants from His slave. And then about the rain and all of these things, about the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how everything Allah subhanahu, everything in the universe is coordinated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the animals themselves. Then after this, talk about punishment and rizq, there's a discussion on verse 64 onwards about the futility of the dunya. The dunya is just a very, remember, this is the surah of the Ankabut, right? The web, and how insignificant it all is. The dunya is very insignificant. And then how people are so sincere when they're drowning or when the ship is about to sink, and when they get back to the shore and everybody's safe, idahum yushrikun, then suddenly it's all shirk. They just associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, denying everything, seeking pleasure in the dunya. Soon they will know. And so this is sort of the end of this surah. And there's a beautiful verse at the end of this surah. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Whosoever struggles engulfed by us. It's very intriguing wording. Fina, in us. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, meaning whoever strives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, but that everything, he's just encompassed entirely by thoughts of God. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, we will guarantee him and we will guide him to all of these different paths, because the paths to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within Islam, within mainstream Sunni Islam, are many. Okay, I'm not being a perennialist, there's many paths to God. So you find God in your path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a path for you. Maybe it's through your work. Maybe it's through mujahid fi sabilillah. Maybe you're sahib al-ilm. Maybe it's through the service of your parents. Maybe it's through charity. Maybe it's Allah alam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa inna Allah la ma'al muhsinin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is surely with those who are people of excellence. And then the next surah is Surah Ar-Rum. And this is a very beautiful surah. Alif lam mim ghulibat ar-Rum. The Romans have been defeated. في أدنى الأرض, in the furthest part of the earth. وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون, soon after that, they will avenge their loss very soon. في بضع سنين, in a matter of time. لله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد, the affair is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before and after. ويومئذ يفرح المؤمنون, on that day the believers will be very happy. بنصر الله, with the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ينصر من يشاء وهو العزيز الرحيم. Obviously this is partly the happiness of the believers, is that they only found out. So what's the story? There's a story here. The Romans, there's a longer story about a man called Heraclius and a man called Phocas and Maurice. And you have to go look this up in the books of history. Sheikhuna, Sheikh al-Mashaykh, Sheikh al-Hasan al-Nadwi, rahmatullahi alayh, expends some time in this discussion in some of his works. I think it's his book on the Qur'an, his Madkhal ila al-Qur'an. I don't know if it's been published or translated by anybody. And he spends time with this miracle of the prophecy of the Qur'an, that the Romans were absolutely demolished by the Persians. Khusro, I think it was at that time. And this is, there's a story behind it, but ultimately Khusro is literally on the verge of taking all the territories. He manages to encroach deep into Byzantine territory, and at this point the Romans are on the verge of just going out of existence. This is the Eastern Roman Empire, what remained of that those provinces, because the Western Roman Empire at that point, I think, as far as I know, had gone out of existence, or was in fact really, really weak if it still existed. And at that point, Heraclius, this ruler, comes to the throne, and he's this very, very weak, sort of feeble, infatuated by dunya type ruler, luxurious. There was nothing known of him that he was going to be this world-changing man, who, unfortunately, if he hadn't been for Islam, and the conquest of Islam, would have been remembered a lot more than he is. Except all he's remembered for is that he's the man who lost all the territories to the Muslims. Nevertheless, then in the midst of all of this, in this very tense, difficult situation on the border of extinction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this prophecy that the Romans have been defeated. Ultimately, they will be victorious in a matter of time. I think it's something like 3 to 10 years. And at that point, the Meccans, the Makki surah, the Mushrikeen, they hear this prophecy and then they mock it. They find it hilarious. How is this? What a strange prophecy to make. There's no chance of this ever happening. And then Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he really vouches on the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and places his bet with, I think, with Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayth. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, increase the bet, but increase the time to 10 years or 9 years or something. And ultimately, after the Muslims' victory at Badr, when they're returning from Badr and they get to Medina, they hear the news that the Romans have defeated the Persians and the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. And at the time this promise was made, it was inevitable that the Romans would go out of existence, and then they ultimately won. And so this is one of the great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can read about this in more detail in Shaykh Ibn al-Hasan al-Dinabi rahmatullah alayh. And then there's a biographer of Heraclius. I don't know if he writes about this. I haven't read the book, but inshallah, maybe he does. And that would be beneficial for people to read as well. Walter something. I can't remember his name. Anyways. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with this great sign of his existence, the sign of the truth of the Quran, and then he carries on to talk about some of his other signs that he has. أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ Do they not ponder in and of themselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything with perfection, everything to the T, everything for a purpose. وَأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى Everything has its appointed time. And many human beings, deny this meeting with their Lord. Do they not travel in the earth and see what happened to those who came before them? كانوا أشد منهم قوة. They were more powerful than them. They had incredible strength. They populated the earth a lot more than these people did. And then the prophets came with the signs. And then they didn't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not oppress them, they oppressed themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about this idea that you have to travel the earth. And you have to see everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. You have to spend time in creation. We've spoken about this many times, but this is the argument Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes. This intuitive thing that man has within himself. Imam al-Ghazali in the Risala Qudsiyah points to this and says, this is the fitrah. This intuitive sense that you look at the grandeur and the magnificence of the cosmos and the seas and the earth and on the stars, and you come to this realization that it must have been created by a perfect being of immense perfection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initiated creation, and then he will return things as they are. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks briefly about the day of judgment. The day of judgment is coming, and nobody will be able to assist anybody on that day. Everybody will become dispersed. The believers will be in a good place, in gardens, enjoying themselves, and the disbelievers will be in a very, very tense punishment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves back to some of his signs. Again, creation as revelation, I've called it, that his signs are that he created you from earth and that you are human beings. And then suddenly you're human beings. And then he created the heavens and the earth and the differences in your languages and your colors. And all of these are signs for the people who know. And here, like one of the things I'll just quickly mention, the alimeen here is not the people always think it's the ulama. This is not talking about the ulama. This is just people who have knowledge over these signs of creation, of the nature of the cosmos. They will be able to take heed of these things. They have the greatest fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to just allow the signs into your heart. You have to empty your heart of all forms of distraction and allow the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter. From his signs again is you're sleeping by night, at night, and you're seeking of his blessings through during the day. Again, these are signs. The lightning itself is a sign. The rain is a sign that it brings the earth to life after its death. These are all signs. And then from his signs, everything established, the earth, the sun, everything, fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his dominion over the universe. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a lot of these signs, and this is what people should be reading. But then there's a beautiful verse that I thought I'd just spend a little bit of time on, and this is verse 30. فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Turn your face, establish your face completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This is the fitrah. There's a big debate of the ulama. What is the fitrah? We don't have time to go into it, but the fitrah is this primordial thing, your spiritual nature. Not your physical nature, but your spiritual nature deep within. It's like a compass that automatically just turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it doesn't know. It doesn't have details. It doesn't have information. It doesn't have proper knowledge-based understanding. So we can just turn you slightly and just sort of keep pulling you in a direction. But that's all it can do. And ultimately, you have to then walk in that direction to use the fitrah as a tool in order to build the knowledge and iman and understanding of Islam. This is not fitrah. Is not Islam. Fitrah is not iman. Fitra is just an instinct that human beings have, and this is how the traditional scholars of Ash'ari Kalam have understood the fitra, and other scholars have disagreed and put other ideas forward, but the ideas hold no weight, and we don't need to go into that discussion. But our teacher, Sheikh Abdurrahman Mihrik, has a very nice paper on this that people can read, where he refutes Yaqeen Institute, Nazir Khan, where they try to lay out Ibn Taymiyyah's idea of the fitra, and he says this is not true. The fitra is something completely different, and the ulama have understood this for centuries, and we don't, and that's how it should be understood. And so we won't go into that. Munibina ilay, constantly turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear him, establish your prayer, and don't be from the polytheists. Thalika deen al-qayyim, this is the upstanding religion. There's no crookedness in this religion. This religion will never fall, will never falter, will never fail. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the disbelievers and how fickle they are in their, even their attempt to understand and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He talks about how riba has no value in it. It's just this imaginary increase that people think. It has no increase with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing that increases is zakat. Because riba, if you look at the riba economy, this is all built. I follow this brother on Twitter called Bitcoin something. He's very good. Muslim Bitcoiner. And there's another brother called Akbar Zeb. I just mentioned these names. I don't know why. But they're very good because they were talking about, and Tariq Diwani, and many people have spoken about this, Josh Ryan Collins, about the nature of the riba currency and the system, the way it works. It needs constant, it's like a balloon. It just needs to be constantly inflated further and further and further. And all it does is to just delay the inevitable. And so this riba, it looks like the economy is constantly increasing in size, but it's all a bubble. It's all imagination. It's not real money. It's not real economy. It's not real jobs. It's all a product of your imagination. And ultimately, that's going to fail. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying zakat is real because it's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will look after it. He'll maintain it. He'll nurture it. He'll nourish it. And ultimately, that will be your success in this life and the hereafter. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about dhahar al-fasadu fil barri wal bahr. Corruption has been meted upon the land and the sea because of what the hands of man have done. And Shaykh Hamza Yusuf interprets this through tadabbur, that this may be in reference to climate change, that the destruction of the planet is by our own hands, that we are bringing on the Day of Judgment. This signs of the Day of Judgment, like acid rain, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about, maybe these are human caused problems that we have caused the earth. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why is this corruption manifesting itself? لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا, so they may be able to taste a bit of what they did. These are our actions manifesting themselves in the universe. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, and so they make their inevitable return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, I've realized I've spent quite a bit of time on this. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a few or more of his signs, Jalla fil Ula, about the wind, that it brings mercy, but at the same time, the wind can also bring punishment, and so it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he speaks here about the power of the wind and how it just allows the earth and the canopy of the earth and all of these things to be maintained. Look at the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Day of Judgment, وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ يُقْسِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ كَذَلِكَ كَانُوا يُؤْفَكُونَ, and what they're going to, وَيَوْمَ إِذِ اللَّهِ يَنْفَعُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مَعَذِرَتُهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُسْتَعْتَبُونَ, that the disbelievers on that day, these ظَالِمُونَ, the excuses on that day will hold no weight. And so these are signs and these are examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the Quran. And then we move to Surah Luqman. Luqman, named after Luqman al-Hakim, the famous man from the Surah, the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran starts, the Surah Alif Lam Mim, that he talks about. Again, it starts with the signs. These are signs of the wise book, guidance and mercy for those who do excellence. And then who are these people, the people of excellence, those who establish the prayer and give their zakat and have ultimate complete conviction in the Day of Judgment. And these are people, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a verse actually that talks about music and the dangers of music. And then, so this talks about people and how they navigate the revelation, how they take in the revelation, that those who don't hear anything, it's as if, because their arrogance is a blocker to all of the guidance of revelation, and there are those who openly seek the revelation and the guidance of the revelation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the heavens. Again, there's a lot of talk about heavens and the mountains and the animals and the water. And هذا خلق الله, this is the creation of Allah. Allah, فأروني ماذا خلق الذين من دونه, show me what others have created. If they're contenders, show me what they've created. They can't create anything in their labs and all of this attempt that they've had. They can't make anything. They can't even, animals go extinct. They can't revive them again, only through genetic breeding. But they have no actual power to create life. They have nothing. Even lab processed meat, it's all disgusting. Everything they do is an attempt to, it's all tamathil. It's a copy. It's all a copy of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the wisdom of the great man Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam rahimahullah ta'ala. And then the dominant opinion, as far as I remember, is that he wasn't a prophet. وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. We gave Luqman this incredible wisdom. Why did you give him the wisdom? So that he could be grateful. But gratitude is not just said they go, Alhamdulillah, 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 Alhamdulillah. Gratitude, as the great Imam, and we're working on a book, it's a beautiful book, and I don't have it, by Sheikh Imam Avihi, Tajuddin al-Subqi, rahmatullahi alayhi, about how do you, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you blessings, how do you maintain those blessings? And he goes through all of these occupations that people have and how each of them should maintain their blessings, because ultimately the greatest form of gratitude is to take the blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and utilize it to further the religion and to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so here, Luqman alayhi salam is given the wisdom. Why? To go teach the people, to go initiate and enact that wisdom in a physical sense in the universe. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. And then here's the advice. So Luqman alayhi salam gives advice to his son. First thing, وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنْ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Don't associate partners with Allah. It's a heinous misdeed. And be good to your parents, because everything that they've done for you. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, saying that, you know, you have to be good to your parents. And if they try to make you do evil, then don't obey them. Don't, if they want you to do shirk, don't obey them. But just be good to them, even in the dunya. Even if they're evil to you, be good to them as best to your ability. Ya bunayya, if you have even, if there is even this grain seed of, on a rock, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whether it's in the heavens or the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring you all this. The power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how subtly He knows His creation. Oh my son, establish the prayer and command good and forbid evil and be patient in all that afflicts you. And this is some of the greatest of matters of determination. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that be humble to the people, don't walk on the earth in arrogance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like those who are arrogant people who show off. Be balanced in the way that you walk. And lower your voice, because the worst of voices, the most despised of voices, is the voice of the donkey, who just brays and brays but doesn't say anything of use. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this incredible advice of Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam, speaks of some more of his signs in creation, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in the heavens and the earth, and all the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imparted upon his creation, and that he's saying that In all of this, follow that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you now in revelation, because revelation is a sign as well. So these are great signs, the signs of the earth and the signs in the book. But they want to follow the ways of their forefathers. And that's just shaitan inviting you to the punishment. And so you have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. Otherwise the dunya is just a very small thing. You blink and it's gone. And then it speaks about the wisdom and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a beautiful passages here that we don't have time to get into, that people can read for themselves. And even the closing ruku' of this surah speaks again about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the ships in the sea only move with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are all signs. And then when the water comes again, there's people who start calling for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when it's gone, that's it. They forget what the promises that they made in that moment. You should all read the story of Yusuf Islam, the famous Nasheed artist and singer. He still is a famous singer, but he had a famous story like this. And ultimately, he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he accepted Islam. And the final verse is just talking about only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that, our knowledge of the hour and the descent of rain and what is in the wombs, and nobody knows what it's going to earn tomorrow. Nobody knows where they're going to die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower of all the realities of things. Then we move to Surah Al-Sajda, the penultimate surah of this juz, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Musa alayhi salam and water. I have no idea why I wrote that. Anyway, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of in Surah Al-Sajda. I think this is Surah Sajda. It's very short, okay, in terms of what I've written here. Because it's a short surah. It's a very short surah. It's like 30 verses and it's done. We have Surah Sajda, which again starts with the Huruf Muqatta'at. It speaks about the Qur'an and the power of the Qur'an. And then it just speaks about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that everything in creation is controlled and maintained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every alladhi ahsana kulla shayn khalaqahu. All of the creation has been perfected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the nature of the progeny of man, how he created mankind, and then people deny the resurrection. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the different reactions that the believers and the disbelievers have to these things. They and then the mushrikeen are saying, let us go back. We've seen everything now. Now let us go back and we'll be good people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying basically it's too late. Now you're in the hellfire. فَذُوقُوا بِمَا نَسِيتُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. Now taste what you forgot of this day, this meeting on this day. And they taste this incredible punishment of eternity. And then he speaks about the believers who, when they hear the verses, they fall prostrate and they make tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they praise him and they're not arrogant. And then they move from their beds at night to go worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling on their Lord in fear and anticipation and hoping and giving from the rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا. Can the believer be like the fasiq, the transgressing disbeliever? لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. They're never ever the same. The ones who believe and do good actions, they have this jannatul ma'wa, this jannah of sanctuary. In return, and they're settling because of all the good that they did. And then those who did evil, they'll have Jahannam. And every time they want to escape from there and leave from there, they'll be returned back in and they'll be told to taste this punishment that they used to reject. And so this is the rejection of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a surah that the Messenger of God sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite in the Fajr prayer on Fridays. And when I was in Darul Uloom, it was a constant practice every week that somebody, a good hafiz, not like me, would recite this surah in the Jumu'ah prayer. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam very briefly, and the power of water and the significance of water. And then the day of judgment is spoken about again. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves to the final surah of this juz, the beginning of the final surah, because Suratul Ahzab will be discussed in more detail tomorrow, because it takes up juz 22 as well, and I think it takes up more of juz 22 than it does of juz 21. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this surah speaking to the Messenger of God sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a Madani surah. This is in the Ahzab. And maybe we'll talk about the Ahzab in more detail tomorrow. So we'll just go through some themes now just to finish here. There's a beautiful verse 4. مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't placed two hearts in one man. That you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't put anything else in that heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be the driving force of your heart. The heart doesn't have contenders. It can only have one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the honor of the Messenger of God sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabiyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwaju ummahatuhum. In this age of secular disrespect of religious signs and symbols, it is very important that we honor the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From our tradition, the na'al sharif that people would put on their hats and the ulama would respect, just a symbol of the sandal of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is closer and more befitting to the believers than themselves. And his wives, radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna, but also alayhinna salam. You can say this about Sayyidah Khadijatul Kubra and all the great wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are the mothers of the believers. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the covenant that he took with the other prophets. And then we already read about a covenant, about how all the prophets had to take a covenant that they would follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the confederates. Okay, the confederates. Who are these confederates? Very briefly, we'll talk about this in more detail tomorrow, but it's the armies of Arabia converge upon Medina Munawwara to wipe out Islam once and for all. 10,000 soldiers surrounding Medina Tul Munawwara, in a siege, in an incredibly difficult siege, and the Muslims are hungry and the Muslims are struggling. And ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them victory. Our brothers and sisters in Gaza, they are in siege as well. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the victory, like he gave victory to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he brings the winds and destroys their enemies who are starving them and causing them famine. And if you say anything, you're apparently an anti-Semite when you're watching genocide and war crimes take place in front of your eyes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, whatever his justice is and his wisdom is, to enact that upon the oppressors. Ameen, ameen, ameen. But they came from every single angle, and the hearts reached the throats, and they began to think things, and they were shaken. They were incredibly shaken. And the mushrikeen came, and the munafiqeen, hypocrites, they come, they start whispering things. Ah, maybe we'll talk about this. Maybe I'll leave this here and we'll start with the discussion on the Ahzab and other such things tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, because we've gone into quite a bit of detail today, and I do apologize. We'll talk about the Ahzab in more detail. Just the final thing is just that there's another reflection on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the great example for us. And so we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a great example. We have lessons for this one. We have the prophecy of Surah Ar-Rum, loads of discussion on resurrection, much more discussion on signs, so much on signs of water and earth and sun and sky, and the advice of Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, and then the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the moments like Ahzab and all the other battles that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took part in with the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Zooming in verse. It's just, yes, we'll just look at this very briefly. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. You have to, whoever struggles in our path, لَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. We will surely, look at that, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ. We, the majestic we. And then Noon Thaqila, if people know anything about Arabic, this is the Noon, the emphatic Noon. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ. We will surely, in the future, give them this incredible guidance to our paths. The many, many paths. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many paths. There's not one restricted path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my way or the highway. Allah has many paths to Him. The madhahib, the four madhahib, the various schools of tasawwuf, the schools of aqidah, or the two schools, the three schools of aqidah. All of these paths, these are all different paths. Your vocation, your family life, your own situation, your own struggles, all of these is your path. That's your sabil to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's only one siratul mustaqim. But on that Siratul Mustaqim, there are multiple paths that people can take in order to get to the final destination, which is the pleasure and rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in order to get guidance, you have to struggle. The guidance doesn't come easy. You have to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you want it. So we have to do this thing called jihad, which is to strive and to struggle and to put everything on the line. And once we do that, then Allah is with us. We have the ma'iyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with us in this incredible month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to honor and bless the Muslims of Palestine, the Muslims of Aqsa, the Muslims of all over the world going through tribulation, the Muslims of Kashmir. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with them. Syria and Somalia and any country where Muslims, Sudan is going through an immense musiba at the moment. The Rohingyans, who sometimes we forget, they're going through immense musiba. The Uyghur Muslims. In this month of Ramadan, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless every single one of them. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.